Father, you've been doing so many crazy things this week. It seemed like a challenging week. Even this morning, Lord, I just had to battle mountains to get here because I knew you wanted to be here present. I needed your worship, and I needed to be in your presence with your people. And what a great place it's been this morning, Father. Help me not ruin that. Lord, help me bring truth and love and mix them together so good it'd be a nice cup of coffee, Lord God, that could be drank, sipped, and enjoyed, and it would produce energy activity in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we learned all choices have consequences, right? Say consequences. All choices have consequences. And in this series, closing up today, Who'll Stop the Woe? Consequences could be good or bad, right? When you hear consequences, it depends how naughty you were, what you thought, right? Everything has consequences. Half you went, yeah, it does. Half you went, uh-huh. You know, there's consequences to all our choices, good and bad. We learn that God expects us to drive, or maybe let's say it this way, foundationally live our lives at the 10 and 2 positions. Remember we talked about last week, 10 and 2, the 10 commandments, and then the two summarizations of Jesus, you know, those positions. And we know, right, we know as the church, we're so good at that, right? Like last week, you barely had to listen. Like the 10 and 2, pff, are you kidding me? Aced it once. Man, boy, ace those two things. The 10 and 2, they're super easy. Now, those of you who didn't feel like that last week, you're going to really enjoy this week. There's a woe review that we're going to go through, you know. We remember to concentrate our mouths and lies last week on the facts of God, not our opinions. That got us off. We had a little review. Remember, we like to often not share God's good news, his gospel, of what Jesus did and the facts, but we like to share our opinions about how that gets worked out in other people's lives. I'm just saying that's what the church likes to do a lot. The Pentecostal church likes to pick on the Baptist church, and the Baptist church likes to pick on the Catholic church, and the Catholic church likes, right? Come on. And we, the church, I can't believe. Did you play? Yeah. I can find somebody I can pick on. I'm looking right at you, Yvonne. Can you? She goes, you can do it, Pastor. Can you believe Yvonne? I can't believe she just spent her money on that Camaro. Are you kidding me? Yvonne. We just love to, like, what's that have to do with the gospel right there? It sounds like it might be a little envy problem. That's one of the 10. You just violated one of the 10 when you're thinking about her. See, sometimes we forget about that, right? And so we talked a little bit about keeping our opinions to a minimum and the facts to a maximum, right? Today we're going to try some of the more woe warnings of God. I don't even have that in my notes. It's a good thing because of the woe warnings. I can't even do it. The woe warnings of the Lord has established for the church in his word. Say, I am the church. See, there's things we can avoid woe. Anybody want to avoid woe? Like that's, everyone, I just want to avoid woe. I don't enjoy woe. That's why I hate the highway. Just, you know. The other day, yeah, hands up, I don't know. We're at this basketball game. And sometimes you don't want people to, I don't want people to confuse what I'm doing sometimes. And I get lost in the moment. And I'm such a, sometimes a public figure, I feel like this constant pressure for perfection. I don't know if you understand that, but I do sometimes. Doesn't mean I have to, but I feel it sometimes, right, Judy? And so we're at this basketball game, GCU, and everybody goes, you know, instead of put your hands up, I do that. And so put your hands up, do this. They go, lopes up, right? You know what lopes up is, GCU? Oh, lopes up. I go, wait a minute, that looks so much like a devil sign. Someone's going to take a picture of me going lopes up at a game, go, pastor, flashing devil signs. You know, because they're slaughtering pastors left and right. You don't need to look on the internet very far. You know? You can just pull up a pastor's name. And you'll find more dirt sometimes, verified or not. I saw the picture. I saw him. Our pastor had a devil sign. He was standing next to another pastor. No, man, I was trying to lopes up, and I don't know what I'm doing, so I didn't even lopes up. I just went, hey. Man, because sometimes, you know, it's just tough out there. You know, it's a trap, you know. Keep your hand down. God sees your heart. I know I wanted to make that foul shot. I don't have to lopes up for that, you know. This next part is for Jesus' master disciples and anyone in between. What we're going to talk about is for those of us who have been maybe living as ninjas for Jesus your whole life, and you just barely touch the ground with your salvation, and the people are getting saved, and miracles and signs and wonders are constantly happening behind you, you can still get something from this. And those of us that fall short of that, we can get something from this, you know. So I am the church, and I'll stop the woe. So let's row into some woe. Now look at Paul and the fellas. So once the church got established, they had these guys that had to pastor the churches. And they found out that leading God's church has occasional problems. Remember, issues. My hands are free, but I can still get half the quote, issues. You know, remember we talked about, anybody ever said you have issues? Yeah, I got issues. We all got issues. Trust me, you don't know you got issues, and that's probably your issue. You know, but issues with your church, you, the church, and our public issues we have, right? Sometimes the church publicly has issues. There's no perfect church out there, and that's why I hate all the stones being flung at anybody's ministry in church. I just hate it. Yeah, I just hate it. But there's public issues, and there's some things that should be public issues. Like, yeah, bring that out, you know? But us, the church, have personal issues too, don't we? So I am the church. Yeah, issues, aka situations. How about that? You like the word situations better? Yeah, they do in counseling too. They don't hear issues. But we got a situation, you know? A situation that needs dealing with for a healthier us. Anybody have any of those? Yeah. I have these great leaders that I get to talk to, guys like Wes Beavis and Wayne Cordero, and they're amazing, and Bishop Pierce. And what we found in our counseling practice is that we all understand the things that Paul, Peter, James, Timothy, all those pastors before us, we all understand now that church life can be difficult and often brutal. That's a fact. It is. It should be no shock to any of us. Paul's current gospel drama, think of the things that leaders had to deal with back then. You know, it's still the case today about these all these issues. You have to think about some of these things. You know, we read in the New Testament. I'm not going to put scriptures up yet. I'm going to get into scriptures. But they deal with stuff like false teachers coming in. We probably don't think that's a problem today, but I guarantee it is. You know, but guess what? I don't have to deal with them out there. I have to deal with them in here. I don't need to call them into account out there. I just can't. Got to be careful that doesn't happen right here. That's my job. But it's still part of my job. So I get that. I go, okay, dealing with wolves. They had to deal with wolves. People coming in, trying to eat the sheep, devour the sheep, bite the sheep, look like sheep, trying to smell like sheep. All they want to do is eat sheep. You have to deal with the needy, the real needy. Like, there's the real, you realize, have anybody seen anybody needy? There's needy out there, you know? And then you got to decide the difference between the needy and the users. Every Christmas, my phone lights up like the Christmas tree, and there are people that call annually to every church and collect all sorts of stuff on a regular basis, and they live better than me. And you got to decide who's needy and who's, and sometimes God says give anyways. And you got to hear that too. They had to deal with scammers and the uniquely gifted. Ever have to deal with the uniquely gifted? Because there's people that are uniquely gifted. What do we do with them? I know they have a gift. I don't know what to do. They had those problems. They had to deal with the power hungry. They had to deal with complainers. The church can't relate to that. They had to prep the next generation leaders. Those are all things they had to do for those that was part of their job, right? The gospel has some facts. We should share them whenever we can. Because the hour is shorter than we first believed. I hate to be cliche with it, but the hour is much shorter than we first believed. So the stuff we're doing today is tuning us up. Like, this is the hard stuff that we should go through at the beginning of the year to check ourselves in church. Why? So we can have spirit break out. Miracles come. God, do your thing. Why? Because he's dealing with us. You know, and I have to be careful tuning us up. Because anybody old Italians here? Okay. That can mean something different. Right? I'm going to tune you up. That means I'm going to take you up back with rubber hoses and beat you till you learn a lesson. In my neighborhood, that's what it meant. If you're going to get tuned up, you go, uh-oh, they're going to get tuned up. That's, oh, they're going to get tuned up, finally adjusted. No, they're not getting finally adjusted. Nothing. Mm-mm. Some of us need to be tuned up because the hour's closer than we first believed. And some of us just need to be tuned up. You got to decide. I don't know who's got to be tuned up and tuned up, but you do, right? Often we get excited as the church. Sometimes. Say sometimes. Sometimes we get excited to just hear things like how loved we are and how strong we are and how awesome we are or how awesome we can be. Anybody like to read about those scriptures? I do. Mm-hmm. I love them, you know. We know, like, I got a scripture. There's one that we do all the time. Matthew 16:18 says, Pastor, it's about time to get the scripture. Okay. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Anyone ever quoted that in your Christian walk? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I recommend that you do. Like, don't be nervous about it. Whip it out. Rightfully use it. Declare that verse. How about Romans 8:31? What that? What then shall we say of all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Anybody ever claim that? If God is, like, you're trying to get pumped up here in the mirror in the morning, like, oh, God before me, who can be against me? Right? And you're, the gates of hell itself, Joseph, will not prevail against me. Ah! And you're like roaring at yourself. You're like, yeah, I'm declaring his word. You know, it's true. They're truth, and we should declare those things. The gates of hell shall not prevail. That's the truth. And the gates of hell could and should be no match for us. Right? Is that true? Amen? Is that all the things I'm saying true? You're like, yeah, but what are you going to say next? We know, Pastor. We've been here long enough. You're going to be saying but. Say but. But if you think for a second, if the gates of hell are not going to be able to take you down today, then how come you can't even deal with a rude comment from a person at your church? If the gates of hell are going to be no match for you today, how come you can't take correction when you need it? Loads of times we get woke up, man. We get excited. We quote stuff. God before me, who could be against me? Right? I do it. Then like 20 minutes later, you're into work and your supervisor corrects you and you want to burn everything down. You're moving to Alaska. No, you're quoting in, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. And you get into work, and your boss starts hassling you. Before you know it, I'm texting my wife. Why, we're moving to Alaska. I'm putting up with this bozo no more. You kidding me? Man, the gates of hell got you easy. Right there. Right there. Don't worry, we all feel it. No one's exempt from that moment, so you don't have to feel shame in that moment. Jesus came to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in the church, we got some issues. And if we don't talk about them every once in a while, they're going to keep growing and destroying and dividing the church, right? How are you going to handle the gates of hell when you can't get through the gates of your church? How are you going to handle the gates of hell when you can't even get through the gates of your church? You know, I know Pastor Heidi's not doing this yet. She's got her hand. She's ready. She's like, okay, bring that down. How about this one? This is one she may strike out at. How are we going to hear his way with our big head opinions in the way? Mm-hmm. I know, and I haven't even touched the woes. This is just the prequel to the woes that we're going to talk about today. Everybody excited? See, bring it! Yeah. We should preach the good news. We should guard ourselves. Say, guard myself against obvious woes. Right? We talked last week, stop the world and stop the woes and melt with you. It means stop the woes, divisions with me and God and his community of saints. So today I want to ask the question of us, who will stop the woes? Because there are big woes beyond the obvious 10 and 2 that destroy us. And we got to be aware of the basic rules, right? We got to be, if we don't understand the basic rules, you can expect woeful consequences, right? If we don't do the basics, it's time to share some unexpected woes today. Things that are crushing. Here's my little, I think my little rhyme. You ready? I don't think I have even a slide for it, but I should have because it's super clever. Time to share some unexpected woes that maybe we didn't know that will keep us light on our toes and crushing his foes. Right? We got to get rid of those things. Yeah. It's okay. There's so many more. Just, and if you feel sad during the message today, I want you to smile because the sons are in first place. So then just think about that. It's like the pastor's like, you are getting, Sue, if like, Papa, you are getting too much on my toes. You start going, but the sons are in first place. You know. So here we go. Ready for more woes that affect the church? I think I warmed us up. Matthew 11, 20 through 21. Wow. This is a Jesus quote, y'all. A Jesus quote. Say Jesus quote. Then he, Jesus, began to denounce the people. Huh? Not sweet Jesus. And then he, Jesus, began to denounce the people in the cities in which most of his miracles were done. Who's had miracles done in their lives? If you're born again, you have. Okay, so I want us to not just look at the cities. Okay, I want us to hear. Maybe we're a city in this moment. Maybe we're not. He denounced the people in the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent and change their hearts and lives. Say, whoa. Whoa. Judgment is coming to you, Sharizen. Say, whoa to you, Bethesda. For if the miracles done in you, if I had the miracles that were done in you, were done in somebody else, if the miracles the things you prayed for over the course of your life were answered and somebody else prayed those prayers, if the things you sought God for your whole life for this moment, if I had done that in somebody else, that's what he's saying. For if the miracles done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. In sackcloth and in ashes, their hearts would have been changed, and they would have been expressed sorrow for their sin and their rebellion against God. If the miracles done in you had been done in those other people, they would have repented a long time ago. Sometimes we get so friendly with Jesus, we forget to be broken when we need to be broken. We have to have those moments. You know, you can't be, well, God's grace. Here's my big sin. Oh, well, God's grace. Hey, I won't point out your big sin. I know, but you gave me grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's how often we want to do sin in the church. Outside the church, we want to go boil that dust speck. Stone him. Oh, he's a preacher. Bring him down hard. But in the moments that we should respond when Jesus is touching those moments, it should be, oh, Father, forgive me. I am sorry. And help me to please not do that again. And I know the chances are great, so I need you to help me not do that. I need the Holy Spirit to help me out of that spot so I don't do that to your heart anymore. That's what repentance looks like. He said, if the miracles I've done in you, people that were way bigger considered sinners would have repented a long time ago. That was a Jesus quote. Say, woe. Woe when there is no repentance. He's talking to the church. Woe when there's no repentance in our lives. We can't breeze by it. I'm not talking about the global church. I'm just talking about us in our moments. Not what someone thinks you're sinning. They're judging you.
Well, you see that. John Vale had half a glass of beer.
It might not be sin for John Vale to have half a glass of beer, but it might be for you, for judging him, envying him. And if you had one, you might have fallen into sin because you're a recovered alcoholic. I get all that. Right? We got to start seeing ourselves in this equation if we're going to be the church. Woe when you choose other ways and lords even after he has made a miracle way for you. I think I got a slide. When God points out a woe and you still go, then look out for an oh no. If God points out a woe, he said, hey, I'm talking to you, I am talking to you. I'm pointing out a woe, and you're like, well, I'm still going. I said, don't go to that prom. I'm still going. I said, don't go to that wherever. I'm still going. I said, don't do that. I'm going to do it. because you're going to forgive me because you're my merciful Savior. And that's true. But there's consequences to choices. He could be your merciful Savior and still have consequences to choices. I love my kids, but they were all disciplined when they needed it. When God points out a woe and you still go, then look out for the oh no. You got to expect it, right? I want to read another Jesus quote. Who'll stop the woe? Anybody? Have any volunteers for woe stopping? I'm going to work on it myself. Another Jesus quote, Matthew 18, 5 through 7. Whoever receives and welcomes one child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me, to stumble in sin, by leading him away from me, my teaching, it would be better for him. Say better for him. This is about to say Jesus. This is a Jesus quote. Jesus said, you want to mislead people on purpose? You want to harm people, my kids or little kids or anything you want to put in that category? You want to mislead my people on purpose and hurt people on purpose and my children on purpose and children on purpose? He has a woe coming. And this is Jesus' woe. I couldn't make this. If I would have said this, I would have had everybody here go, hey, bring that down. That's a terrible example. That's hideous. Don't share that. This is a Jesus quote. Causes one of these to believe me and stumble in sin by leading him away from my teaching, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone as large as one turned by a donkey hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. That'd be better. Better than stumbling. We got to be careful what comes out of our mouth and our lives and our actions towards people. We are the church. Jesus said it'd be better for this ginormous stone to be hung around dude's neck and sunk into the deepest part of the ocean. That'd be better than stumbling his children away from him. Say, whoa. Yeah. Whoa, there's more Jesus coming. More. Whoa, judgment is coming to the world because of the stumbling blocks and temptations to sin. It's inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But whoa, say whoa. Woe to the person on whose account or who through the stumbling block comes. God holds us accountable not to stumble each other. He didn't say anything about criticizing each other. He didn't say, get on it. Start critiquing the crap out of each other. Iron sharpens iron. Go smash some steel against somebody. That's your job, church. No, I don't see that. But I do know he says, don't stumble each other, because it'd be better for something jacked up to happen for you than that. Say, whoa, whoa. So preach the good news and avoid the woes. Repent when God corrects. And when someone entices you away from God, don't go. We got to repent completely when we displease him, right? Don't be led away from others by God. So let's check in on Pastor Paul again. He's got some issues. Romans 16, 17. Now I urge you, brethren. That brother urge means like, you know, hey, this is important. Ever been urged to do something? I get urged to take the trash out when it's overflowing. There's an or of an urgent situation, you know. It says, I urge you to what? Note those who cause divisions. Wow. Note those who cause divisions. I urge you, I implore you. Pastor Paul from the scriptures of Jesus Christ says, I urge you to note those who cause divisions. I wish I could tell you stories. How churches have been split and people's lives have been ruined. But people come in and just, I urge you to note those who cause divisions and who cause offenses. Contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. What? When people are being so divisive, you should start avoiding them. They stop listening. There's a time where you're like, I'm getting sucked into, you know, you could take a good tea bag and soak it in toilet water, but it's still not drinkable. Right? Tea's good. Toilet water's not. You keep soaking your tea bag in toilet water long enough, you're going to be bad tea. And dividers, man, they get in there. And it says, woe to the dividers of God. Avoid them. Don't gossip with them when they call you. Try to kindly correct them when they do. It's not going to go well, I know, but try to do it kindly. Say, woe. Time for another Jesus quote? John's like, no, Pastor. We're done with the Jesus quotes this morning. No, she's not. She's like, bring it. She's the toughest one here. So, Matthew 28, 13 through 16. She's ammo my brownie. Say, but woe. Judgment is coming to you self-righteous. Close your eyes for a second. But woe. Judgment is coming to you, self-righteous. Okay. But woe, judgment is coming to you, self-righteous, when you think, right? The 10 and 2 speak to everybody else but you. Woe to you when your good works speak enough for themselves. Woe. Judgment's coming to the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees. He calls them hypocrites. Because you shut off the King of Heaven in front of people. For you do not enter yourselves. Listen. People that fake experiences with God and keep people under their control from experiencing God are a challenging group of people for me. People that talk, oh, God said this and I meant this, and they never meet with God themselves. They'll tell you, you know what? You shouldn't be dancing. You shouldn't raise your hands. You should get on your knees. You should do that. This is how worship should look, Jody. But they never worship God themselves, but they tell you how to do it. Whoa. Whoa. Nor do you allow those who are in the process of entering to even do so. Woe when we say we know him, but we don't enter in to seek him. That makes us self-righteous. We know I can know what Jesus said and still not know Jesus. We got to be a church that knows Jesus. So we know when to say what he said and how to say what he said when he says it. And we're still going to mess it up. Say, woe. All right. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, because you swallow up widows' houses, and to cover it up, your greedy, unscrupulous stuff, you make long prayers, therefore you will receive the greater condemnation. No matter how pretty your prayer words, this is a warning if you're a shyster. You've got any intentions in the kingdom of God to do anything but sincerely serve him. Doesn't matter how pretty you pray. I don't care if you quote King James perfectly. All that's dust and garbage. It's a woe problem if you're stuck in self-righteousness. Woe to the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, because you travel overseas and land to make a single proselyte, which is a convert to Judaism. And when he becomes a convert, you make him twice as such a son of hell as you are. Say, wouch. That's wouchy right there. That's a wouchy statement. Say, woe. Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears an oath by the sanctuary of the temple, that is nothing, not binding. But whoever swears an oath by the gold of the temple is obligated as a debtor to fulfill his promises. Woe. Don't ask for commitments that God hasn't asked for. Don't ask for commitments that God doesn't ask for or from anyone. Woe to us when we do not keep the commandments and covenants that he asked us already to take care of. We got to avoid the woe, right? Matthew 23:23. Here it is again, man. He's on a loop, isn't he? Jesus is rolling here. This is Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus who touched the blind eyes, opened deaf ears, and saved my soul. Jesus who brought me up out of the miry clay. Jesus. He's talking to his disciples and he's saying a whole lot of woe. Right? We're familiar with the Beatitudes, right? But sometimes we got to check our woes before we goes, you know? Right? Got to get light on your toes to destroy the foes. I know it's a rap song in there somewhere. Woe to you, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you give a tenth of your mint and your dill and your cumin, focusing on minor matters, And you've neglected the weightier, more important, or more spiritual provisions of the law. Yes, we're supposed to give his way, but giving is not an equalizer to ignore his other ways. I've seen that. I grew up in an environment that you could kind of pay off your sins. Well, that never happens, but you think you can pay off your guilt. And he's saying to him, No. Here's more Jesus quote in the progress. You give a tenth of your mint, your dill, your cumin, focusing on the minor matters, and you've neglected the weightier, more important, and spiritual provision of the law. You've neglected justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are primary things you ought to have done. But these are primary things that you ought to have done. These are foundational things that you ought to have done without neglecting the others. The giving of the tithing of the laws. See, so often, I'm not going to say this is like my giving message. This is where the Old Testament, New Testament meets. He's talking about Malachi, about tithing. What it's supposed to do. And that Malachi in chapter 3 talks about God saying, hey, do this, cool things happen. If you don't, woe. And I see all the woes all the time. And that's about where I'm going to stand there. If you want financial counseling, there's ways to make money. Jordan's going to do a seminar. That's awesome. Way to save money, get money, do money, make money. You're a slave in the earth to do things. Do it. Learn how to control your money. But God has a way of doing money too. So he doesn't say don't do those things. He said you neglected the important stuff. Right? Without neglecting the other stuff. You should have done, Jesus said, do not neglect the tithe, but do the most important thing, which is what? Have godly character if you have to choose. But you shouldn't have to choose. You know? He's getting on to them. God cares what we give, that we give, and he cares that we prioritize correctly. Because all of it's his. That's what I learned when I got saved. None of it's mine. I'm a dead man, and dead men don't have bank accounts, so it's easy for me to give. Before that, I was a little bit of a miser as a kid. Because if you grow up poor, you kind of keep your stuff. You know, anybody ever grow up real poor? Like, I don't know. I just keep a bag in my closet, like a go bag, before it was popular. Because I got to go. Jake, go bag. Got to go. What's in there? I don't know. I took $4 in cash. There's a pocket knife, some rations, you know. But God spoke to me that, hey, that's all mine. Just do it my way, and it's going to be easy. He said, but always have godly character. Don't think if you give $1 million, it is restitution for your lack of humbling before me and treating your fellow man. I know a lot of Christian millionaires that aren't nice. And I know some that are so fantastic that I just want to be around them all the time. It has nothing to do with their money. Say, well, Matthew 23, 25 through 28. Say, now you can say, Pastor always speaks about money. Here we go. Matthew 23, 25 to 28. Woe to you, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Say, every time. Jesus got to bring that up every time. He's name-calling them every segment of this conversation. How often do you want to be called a hypocrite in one sitting? Never. I never want to have it said, even if I'm doing it. But to have it a whole bunch? By the Son of God? I came to hear a good message. I heard he does beatitude, man. They fed people on the lawn. It was a dinner thing. It was like a dinner theater. He healed people. We got some bread and fish. We heard a cool message about love your neighbor. It was awesome. This Jesus is always saying, whoa, hypocrite. What's he doing? Is this the same Jesus? For you clean the outside of the cup, of the plate, but inside they are full of extortion and robbery and self-indulgence. See, they care about their appearance, but they have ugly, ugly hearts. I may look good on the outside. I can have an ugly heart on the inside. But you're preaching and teaching. It can happen. And it will happen if you don't check your heart on a regular basis. To let Jesus talk you through the woes. You gotta let Jesus walk you through the woes sometimes. It says, you spiritually blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate. It's like, is this a dishwashing lesson? No. This has nothing to do with dishes. It says, examine and change your inner self. Say Jesus quote. Yeah. Examine and change your inner self to conform to God's precepts. Examine and change yourself to conform to God's precepts. What? That means your opinions aren't worth a hill of beans any longer. Now you're on my fact journey. You used to think this was cool. I'm telling you it's not. And you keep it up. Whoa. But if you don't, let's go. The outside, your public life and deeds may be clean also. Woe to you, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you're like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but inside you're full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. Jesus is very intense today. I wonder if his mom was in the front row going, Jesus, this is the scribes and Pharisees. They're the most, but they keep the church alive. The temple exists because they are givers, and you're just causing everyone to be, and they make life tough. And can you bring down the hypocrites part of it a little bit? You got to call dead man's bones. Everything unclean, Jesus. Everything. Everything. Are you being sanguine right now? Everything, Jesus. So you also outwardly seem to be just and upright to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Say woe to hypocrisy. If you're venturous enough to say this one with me, you don't have to. But I'm going to say it first and you can repeat it if you want to. Woe to my hypocrisy. Good for you. Speak the good news and live your life under its guidance, right? You ready for some additional woes? Sure you are. Let's see those hands. Yes, I can always count on Joni. But woe, Luke 6:24-26. But woe, judgment is coming to you who are rich and place your faith in possessions. For you're already receiving your comfort in full and there's nothing left to be rewarded to you. Woe to when you're well fed, gorged, satiated. Now, for you'll be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, enjoying indulgent inner life, for you will mourn and weep and deeply long for God. Woe to you when all people speak well of you and praise you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets the same way. Say, woe. See, God is looking for hearts of those who follow him, not just actions. That's what makes it a tough gig. You can have a great heart and not do anything and then not do anything. You can do all sorts of stuff and have a bad heart and not do anything. I have a quote here. It's a little more fun than the other ones. Is there a quote up there? The inside life quote. God is looking for your inside life to be more important than your outside look. God is looking for your inside life between you and him and how you look at other people. He's looking for that to be more important to you than your outside look of how you think you're presenting it. That's more important to God. And there's the woes of Revelation. I'm not going to read those. You can say, thank you, Pastor Sean. And skip that. You can all look those up. They're fun. Let's close with some more of Paul's woes. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I merely preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast about, for I'm compelled. That is, I'm pretty much obligated to do it because God saved me. Woe to me. Say woe to me. Woe to me. This is Paul saying this. Woe to me if I do not preach the good news of salvation. Say I am the church. You want to say that one with me? Woe to me. Not new season. Not Pastor Sean. Woe to me if I do not preach the good news of salvation. He's talking to the church. It's time we start preaching the good news of salvation. Stop shouting the problem back at the world that they're aware of. And start bringing the love, the unhypocritic love of Jesus Christ, who's changed your life and given you grace. And you take that into other people and you give it to them as best you can. And stop judging everyone else. And become the most amazing church you can possibly see. I am the church. And I can be amazing. The gates of hell will not prevail against me. And if God is for me, then who can be against me? Who'll stop the woe? Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're in the right church this morning. Preaching the gospel, that's what we're supposed to do. So what are we preaching, Christians? When we speak to others in our lives, we got to check, what are we preaching? So we got to slow our woe a little bit, right? Go, hey, how's my 10 and 2 doing? Well, I'm great. Oh, no. I still want Pastor Larry's hat. I still covet that thing, man. Want the hat, dude. What's up with that? Yeah, every time I try to pray through and don't have a second feel, I look at the flyest car in the parking lot and I say, man, that's sharp. Oh, man, is that a, who's got the nice gray Jeep? Oh, is that you and your new truck? Love it. Jim Brown, that's beautiful. Oh, check your 10 and 2, Pastor Sean. Why? You barely said that, hugged anybody in the line after church was over, after you gave such a hard message. And you're out there going, this is a nice Jeep. Watch your 10 and 2. Check your attitude. I'm doing good with a 10. How's your 2? Doesn't matter. Jesus said it did. I'm doing everything right by the book. Where can you find sin in my life? Where? Right there. Whoa, self-righteous. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Live out God's enthroned over your heart. Check your hypocrisy level, right? Would you guys stand with me for a second? I want to re-encounter Jesus like we did when we first realized how desperately we needed him. Because we still need him that desperately. We just forgot. All this woe has been in our way. Too much woe has been in our way. Who's going to stop the woe? We're going to stop the woe. And we're going to make mistakes doing it. Especially Danette, give her extra grace, you know? She's wily. But we're going to make mistakes. You're going to catch Nick on an off day. Don't judge him. He's a great guy. Fantastic guy. Like, that's how we got to start looking at each other. Let's stop. Mark the dividers. When people are going, you hear about Zach? They live in Oregon. That's crazy up there. Yeah, it's crazy that they're awesome. Oregon's awesome. And the Oregonians we have are awesome. And Jack, they're better. Awesome. Don't you think so? The person don't stay very long, they're not going to stay in that conversation. Mark the dividers. And if they keep trying to divide you from God or your brothers and sisters, and they keep trying, and you try to keep preaching the gospel as lovingly, as kindly as you can, and they just keep trying to tear your relationship with God down, and your brother and sister, there comes a time where you have to go, I got to avoid you, man. Why? Because you're bringing me into woe. We're going to be one church. When he comes back, he says without spot or wrinkle, I guess I won't be around. But he say he's coming back. And I want him to find new season in the streets we pray for, patrolled by those who can stop the woe and who love him more than their own life. And that's you. Raise your hand. I'm going to pray for us. Oh, Lord, I pray you help us stop the woe and anoint us to go so we can defeat the foe, Lord God. And I pray that we would not be dividers, but we would be uniters between people and God, churches and God, brothers and sisters and God, husbands and wives and God, children and God, Father. We would be uniters between people and God, and we would be uniters of the body of Christ. Even if they look and smell a little different, Father, if it's different but not sin, Lord God, we can get by that because we are those who bring together, not pull apart. Anoint us to be that kind of people, Lord God, with that kind of heart. In Jesus' name, amen.